Hawk. He was a passionate supporter of the invasion of Iraq, and like Biden, who chaired the Senate Foreign Relations Committee when Blinken was a chief staffer, he only allowed a day and a half worth of hearings on this, the most important foreign policy issue of the past quarter century, and stacked the witness list with war supporters. Blinken was also a big supporter of U.S. intervention in Syria and in Libya. And he's been a big supporter of the Israeli government and its policies. And so, unfortunately, will not have sometimes the State Department has been a moderating force of more hawkish presidents, as has the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Both Menendez and Foreign Relations and Blinken, Secretary of State, are if anything to the right of Biden. So I think that leaves us in the grassroots to challenge the administration policy to make sure it doesn't get us into trouble in terms of impetuous interventionist policies and supporting dictatorships and occupying armies.
Stephen Zunis, we want to thank you for being with us, professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco, co-author of Western Sahara, War, Nationalism, and Conflict Irresolution. To see our documentary on Western Sahara, go to democracynow.org. That does it for our broadcast, Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Shireen Andura, Sam Alkoff, Tamer Yastudia, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Masood, Adriana Contreras. Special thanks to Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Talk and Taste, Getting Vaccinated for the Love of Health, hosted by Preserve Coalition. On Wednesday, February 10th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., streaming online. Talk and Taste is a virtual afternoon of engaging activities, cooking demonstrations, informative talks, and dance and exercise lessons hosted by LaTroy Robinson. Again, that's Talk and Taste, Getting Vaccinated for the Love of Health, hosted by Preserve Coalition, on Wednesday, February 10th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., streaming online. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO, Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
What's the call for you all? This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01. It's Friday. Time to bridge the gap. Keep it locked here on your Community Connection.
Hello, hello, good morning. How is everyone? You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I am Tammy, and on the line with me is the lovely, the fantastic, the legend, Althea Billings. Althea, how are you?
Hello. I'm hyped about the song. I'm hyped about my superlatives. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
I can also just give you, like, all sorts of different, titles, if you'd like. So you think of a couple of titles I can toss in there. Ambassador is one of my favorites because it's.
I gotta change my business cards. I think, not that anybody uses business cards, but you know what? Everything's different than it was before. I can have more titles if I want to.
Ew! Don't hand me that thing. You just touched it.
What?
Hello? Is that Sonia in the studio?
That is Sonia. Yes. How are you, Sonia?
Well, you know, we don't use business cards because, you know, you've been touching this thing and you're going to, like, hand it to somebody? Gross.
Right. It's been in your pocket and stuff, sitting in there in your car.
Whenever I go outside, I wear rubber kitchen gloves, so nothing to worry about.
I did that in the beginning of the pandemic, and then I was told to not do that because it's silly. until I stop. But
well,
I
that's the line, actually. That one's a little silly, so maybe cut it out.
I do see
people... being sarcastic, to be clear. So, like, I'm part of the problem saying that it's silly.
I see people still doing it, and I'm going to look at them like, you're brave. Like, I did that, too, but I was told to stop. And I get very jealous that they hadn't, you know, they still managed to, they didn't conform while I did conform to the rest of only going with the mess. But Amy Goodman's saying, where to now? And I just want to say shout out to Amy Goodman on just say that what that last bit there. She just said all those names in one breath. That was impressive, very impressive. But yeah, you are tuned into The Gap, where we bridge the gap, flip the script, fill the gap, mind the gap. And today we have a couple of interesting subjects of discussion, and we are going to be opening up the phone lines a little later on in just a bit. But before we get into the agenda, I guess how we thought if we do a little check-in question. How are you, Althea? What's new with you?
You just said agenda and check-in question, and immediately my heart rate rose. It's like, oh no, where's the staff meeting? Ah, what do I say? I'm doing all right. I think I did something weird to my tongue. I think I drank my coffee too hot yesterday, and I'm still feeling those repercussions, you know? So if I sound worse today, I apologize. You know, got to take my tongue back to the shop.
That's karma for bogarting all those pastries.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sonia's putting me on blast. I ate a cinnamon roll, okay? Sue me. It was a Thursday evening. How are you? Let's get into that.
Putting our behind-the-scenes business out on Front Street. That's not cool.
Airing my dirty laundry of eating a cinnamon roll.
Laundry is filled with frosting. We were very jealous that she was eating her cinnamon rolls. Anything new with you, Sonia? Any you know, how you doing? How's your week been?
Well, I've been trying this experiment where I just kind of abandoned the whole pretense at diurnality, and instead of pretending that, you know, trying to make myself sleep here and be awake here, which doesn't seem to work, I just, anytime I feel sleepy, I just go to sleep. And then so it usually works out that when someone else needs me to be awake, I am. So it's been working out. I like it.
I had to Google diurnality, but totally.
Diurnal means active during the day.
Yeah.
Nocturnal means active during the night.
I got there eventually.
Crepuscular means active in the just after dawn and just after dusk.
See, only on The Gap will you hear these. You know, they say what they say, a $5 word. That is definitely a $7.50 word right there. Only here on The Gap.
It's worth more because you would use it less.
Exactly. That's a good point.
How are you doing, Jimmy?
These are company words.
I'm doing well. I'm excited to get into the topics only because it's so like dramatic, you know, like not the worst sense of the word, but in like, you know, high pitched drama, like drama. And it's a little bit more uplifting than the usual stuff. Although there's been some pretty hardcore, not very nice or good or positive things happening, but I would like to get into the Trump resigned from the Actors Union, and I just, when you said that to me, because we were talking about what we're going to talk about in the show, you didn't know if it was real, and I didn't know if it was real, and sure enough, it was real, and the letter itself is so dramatic and petty, but it made me laugh, because it, you know, people assume that Trump doesn't, you know, do his own things, or write his own letters, or, you know, is, you know, maybe tweets his own tweets, but this one was just very, it just made me think very much Trump, you know, very much, this is how you can't fire me, I quit. I'm like, what, you can't, all right, fine, whatever. I'll see if you want to give a background, or if you have any parts of the letters that you'd like to read, or the whole thing, because it's short and bitter.
Yeah, well, we are, I would love to give background. I would love to read you this letter. Yeah, this is the first half of our show. We love idioms. It's called quitting time. We're calling it quits because SAG, the union is SAG-AFTRA, and it like represents actors and whatnot. Screen Actors Guild. They were preparing to basically vote to oust him from the union for all of the things that he's getting impeached for, which would be insurrection. And so the "you can't fire me, I quit" thing came up that way. Allow me to read you this letter because it's one of those things like Tammy was saying. We didn't know if it was. I was like, I saw this and I thought that it was interesting, but I don't know if it was real because it doesn't seem. It walks that line, as a lot of things do these days. But anyway, I will read you. I'll read you the letter. This is dated February 4th, 2021. Miss Carteris, I write to you today regarding the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my union membership. Who cares? While I'm not familiar with your work, I'm very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, and television shows including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, and of course, one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few. I've also greatly helped the cable news television business, said to be a dying platform with not much time left until I got involved in politics and created thousands of jobs at networks such as MSDNC and fake news CNN, among others. Which brings me to your blatant attempt at free media attention to distract from your dismal record as a union. Your organization has done little for its members and nothing for me besides collecting dues and promoting dangerous un-American policies and ideas, as evident by your massive unemployment rates and lawsuits from celebrated actors who even recorded a video, asking, why isn't the union fighting for me? These, however, are policy failures. Your disciplinary failures are even more egregious. I no longer wish to be associated with your union. As such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation from SAG-AFTRA. You have done nothing for me. Regards, President Donald J. Trump. He's not putting the former in there yet, I guess. But
ending it strong. You have done nothing for me. I mean, that's what did it for me. And also that, who cares?
Who cares is
it's
great.
Like, you just read it. It made me laugh so hard. But it is, SAG is one of the many entities, organizations, whatever have you, that has been disconnecting from Trump, much like a lot of Republicans, a lot of New York City with all of the different contracts that it had. And it trickles down to also, Giuliani, the bars wants to take his license
Ripple
away.
Outward.
Outwards, excuse me. Sorry. Every time I say that, Reagan just sprouts wings. And it's interesting to see that all of these entities, even as it's not to say that the union doesn't matter. It's just like, it's not like this political backing or something, It's definitely just kind of like navigating where you stand. And, I think that everyone who's associated with the former president is now slowly or quickly condemning him, even after the fact. Insurrection was a big part of it. I just want to mention, I know this is a radio show, not visual, but he's keeping the stamp. He's keeping the seal, like the presidential seal, and it's now just from the office of Donald Trump and not, he's keeping the presidential seal. I don't know if that's like common for presidents to do after they've been in office.
No, it's actually illegal.
It's illegal.
It
We're
is.
Gonna have some explaining to do.
One thing, and can I point one thing out in the fake news CNN and MSDNC? I enjoyed that and I'm sure the person who got to write the BuzzFeed News article about this loved that they got to write the headline: "Home Alone 2 actor Donald Trump resigns from SAG." That's his title, that he was in Home Alone 2. I haven't seen the rest of his filmography, I must confess. I haven't seen Zoolander or Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. So,
Well, that's a problem that you have in Zoolander. We're going to have to take that off offline because that's we're going to have to figure that out.
I have seen the part where he's brought up in the first episode of Sex and the City, which that didn't age well, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's been brought up in everything from, you know, like rap songs to movies, you know, to being the butt of Obama's jokes at the press. The press dinner that they have every year for the or every 4 years for the president. He's been in the cultural psyche for a long time, and it's just kind of, you know, it's silly to think that anyone ever expected him to be anything else than what he's been promoting himself to be for the last 30, 40 years, you know. And then I think this is like the perfect, yeah, it's like just so. It just seems so petty to me, and so, you know, instead of, you know, the union wanted to sever ways with him, and instead of just, you know, all right, this is, I mean, he should be used to it by now. So many people are doing it, but to write that very petty letter, you've done nothing for me. Like, that's all right. Well, you can't fire me. I quit. All right, go get out of here. and that brings us to our
Donald
next
Trump also not.
Okay.
Well, I was going to mention one thing. Donald Trump, as president, also not known to be a friend of unions. So, like, to come out and just afterwards, you know, getting tossed from everything he's ever been a part of. Like, well, you've done a really bad job with the unions. Like, well, you were the president, and the environment you created for unions is not great. So there's that. But, yeah, pivot us, Tammy. Take us to the second part of quitting time, calling it quits.
Yes, because, you know, quitters can't be winners. But some winners can be quitters, apparently. And Jeff Bezos, the former CEO and founder of Amazon, is leaving. And Bezos wrote this email, for a lack of adjective, where basically he's like, hey, I'm going to leave Amazon to go spend more time with my money, which is, you know, very interesting. If people aren't familiar, Jeffrey, like, he's a friend of mine. Jeff. People have like nicknames as or like shorthand names instead of the full ones. It trips me up because I feel like I'm being too friendly with them. Mr. Bezos also is has the Bezos Earth Front, Blue Origin, good old Washington Post, and the Day One Fund. And so that was an interesting email, you know, where he's basically saying, you know, goodbye to the workers. And while most,
I mean,
of it
even
is,
so, can I say one thing?
Yes, please.
He's stepping down as CEO, but he's becoming the executive chair of the board. So,
and he's still the largest
new guy,
largest holder of the company. So it's, you know, it's not like he's going to be completely hands off, but he's going to spend more time with his with his money, which I love saying it because it's like, I'm going to go, you know, usually people say, I'm going to go spend some more time with my family or something, but no. And in it, you know, you're talking about how the word on the internet right now is how kind of out of touch this email is, because he says things like, keep inventing, don't despair. When a lot of the stuff that is on Amazon is, you know, child labor or really bad for the environment, not even talking about the, you know, like the packaging, stuff like that. And then, you know, on top of all that, Amazon was just, they have to pay, I think it's $61 million to workers because the couriers services for Amazon, the people who were getting tips from customers, those tips were actually being taken back by Amazon and used to pay the hourly workers. And it's like adding, you know, salt to injury that in this email, he exemplified the two high impact examples, one of them being the $15 minimum wage, which they provide for workers. And then the scandal that just came out that Amy Goodman was reporting on a few days ago about them taking the tips from tip workers and giving it to the 15 an hour minimum wage workers. Unbelievable stuff. Truly, truly unbelievable stuff. Incredibly out of touch. And I think that a big problem for me is I don't quite understand how he can be, you know, own the Washington Post and be such a, you know, be the CEO of such an incredibly strong company. Like, these consolidated powers, it's really something interesting. And also, just another, you know, thing to note, does him, you know, stepping down have anything to do with the new administration coming in? I don't know. It's just, I don't quite understand what would prompt him to do it at this time, but I assume big assume that it might have something to do with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, any takes from you,
well,
Althea?
Yeah, a couple. I got a couple. Right. The taking tips from their careers isn't like Amazon has a reputation for sort of creating a hostile work environment, not letting people take breaks. People that work for them in their warehouses, like, having mental breakdowns because they're not allowed to. They have to do things so quickly, and they're not allowed to take breaks. So they don't have a great reputation in terms of, like, what the atmosphere in their warehouses is. And, you know, they also are, like, to bring it back to unions, major union busters. There's news this week was saying that there's one Amazon warehouse in Alabama that's potentially unionizing. But even so, they were sending, like, the company would send all the workers who are, you know, they have to, like, sign their agreements and vote to join the local union, but that they were sending them emails and text messages that were anti-union. They had to watch anti-union videos. They had a mandatory meeting that was anti-union. So there's also all of that, you know, abusing workers and whatnot. But the line that I think got most most attention online of this email that Jeff sent was, so he's talking about their success, and he says, how did that happen? Invention is the root of our success. And people were, like, crossing out, like, editing his email for accuracy and changing invention to exploitation. But to your point, Tammy, about, like, why did he want to step back, I think that it might have something to do with the new administration, but also that he's focusing on, you know, these things that are more philanthropic. So I bet that he is making that pivot, which all titans of industry make at one point or another, where they've made so much money that now they need to, quote unquote, save their soul, I don't know, in the Rockefeller kind of way, better start donating money to build plazas and start all of these Carnegie, like, started libraries and, like, all of this kind of stuff. Better do all of that to make my balance more even. And that's after he made $70 billion in 2020. He makes what one of his like base level workers makes every like 11 seconds. He makes their like gross pay for the year every 11 seconds. So he will still be enriched.
Crazy. I would love to see what $70 billion anything looks like. That's just such a think a number that
I mean,
can't
I think
even
that's,
comprehend.
That's still more money than you could, like, one person could ever spend. So
yeah, of course. That's
there's some perspective for it. We can kind of, you know,
okay,
break
sure.
it down. We can, you know, we can shift the units a bit. You know, Jeff Bezos can personally pay to feed every single hungry person in the world every single day for 126 years.
That's a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez,
dang.
Now, Carnegie and them, and Mellon Scaife and all of them, they got into all this philanthropy stuff as because the tax law was written in a way that it would penalize them for hoarding their wealth. So they spread it around throughout the community, and they invested it back into their business, i.e., into benefits and pay for the workers. And so everybody benefited because all that wealth that was generated by, that was created by the labor of the workers, was spread out throughout the community and sent back into the, it circulated through the economy. And the 1% never suffered. and everyone else prospered because legislation was made, was passed and enacted and enforced that the effect of which was to benefit all the people. This has happened. We have done this before, and we can do it again. We stopped doing it at some point, right around 40 years ago, in fact. And that's when everything started being really started getting really bad and gotten worse and worse and worse for the 99%.
Yeah.
See, money, what that whole GameStop thing that we were talking about last week, what that taught us is that money is fake. It's not real. It's a story that we tell each other because it helps us do things that we have decided are important to do. And we can tell ourselves a story in which we all prosper, or we can tell ourselves a story in which most of us suffer and a tiny, tiny minority get to have everything. So which story do you want to be in is really the issue. Because we get to choose.
Jeff Bezos, he chose too. Mm-hmm. And we're all living in his dream instead.
Because we're allowing it.
Dream can end up being someone's nightmare.
Because we allow it. Only if we allow it. It's only if, and it's only happened that way so far because we've allowed it.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about all of the folks on Twitter who really valorize the top the highest earners, you know, retweeting the 10 habits of highly successful people. I worry about them, you know, in this moment that Jeff Bezos is stepping back. God forbid that Elon Musk gets out of the game. What are they going to do? This is sarcasm. Let me be clear about that.
Someone needs to go check on Elon, make sure he's all right.
Who's got the power thought? Billion dollar portfolio can I bow down to? Whose boots can I lick today?
Yeah. They're definitely going to start some sort of like evil genius lair type thing. Because if they all quit their day jobs like that, they're going into a life of, you know, let's lose our status.
Well, it's like, imagine you had the power to end world hunger. You could just do it, you know?
Yeah. Imagine being the person who can.
That's like two
many times over and chooses not
too
to.
Big of a problem to even comprehend.
Imagine being that person who can.
Yeah, what are you waiting for?
Without
Jay? JB, where are you at?
Maybe that's going to be the next step, you know? Instead of, you know, it's going to, every Washington Post copy is going to come with a sandwich, maybe. Everyone gets a Washington Post. You get a Washington Post. You get a Washington Post. Everyone gets a Jeff.
I feel like maybe there's also another aspect of it that, like, because, I mean, how do I want to describe this? Maybe it's also that, like, Jeff he doesn't want to be the face of it anymore. Like, he doesn't want to be the guy that everybody's trying to go bully on Twitter. Maybe he wants to pass that off to his pal.
Antitrust is, I can definitely see antitrust laws being, maybe not necessarily enforced, but definitely being a hot button issue coming up in the upcoming year.
They want to bust up big tech.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about Alexa.
She's not worried about
you. I hope she can't hear me.
it could be, that's a really good point, where there could be also a bunch of, while he still has like the largest share in the company and still is working there on the board, there could be like some sort of legal thing or assets or, you know, something that's entangled with the position of being CEO of a company like that. And then the repercussions from having antitrust. You don't know what type of collateral. I don't know his financial business, but I assume that there is something to that, where someone, as they say, like a fall person, you know, like someone to take the blame for it. Or mm-hmm. maybe Jeff Bezos is actually going to solve world hunger or something. I doubt it. And I'm still there's something doesn't sit right with me in like him owning the Washington Post.
It's called owning a propaganda machine.
The Washington Post, people in D.C. have said that since Bezos came around, the Washington Post in the Post bar have been rejuvenated a little bit. So, you know, at least someone is getting tips. Ayo. And if you do make tips, careful, because Jeff Bezos will probably come and take them. I really can't believe that he did that. Or I know he didn't, like, personally do that, right? But I can't believe that.
Yes, he did. The people who actually carried out the actions
went into the balances and zeroed them out.
There's a thing called command responsibility. And the people who did it because they know that he demands it.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's definitely like a bottom line, and the thing that every company wants to do is grow their bottom line, and so they're going to keep finding ways or hire people to find ways to get their bottom lines, you know, to be bigger and make more. And that's kind of really scary, because the more that you try to make a person want to buy, I mean, look at where we are now. We have ads. You say, you know, lamps next to your phone, and then for the next 5 days you get nothing but lamp ads, you know? So there is something
a Bezos about, lamp. Like, having
a
I've been trying to game that system lately. I don't know if I told you about that. Because I keep getting these ads that's like, it's like, I know you know I don't want this, but you know that I'm a young 20 something woman and you think that I need these pernicious diet ads that I'm not interested in. So then I go to Google and I Google Crocs, I Google like Blue Apron, like all of these things that I know will advertise to me when I'm on YouTube, and I try to get into it to change my ad structure. I don't know if it works totally, but
I've got such good ad blocking extensions that I don't even know what's being advertised at me because I never see them.
Oh. Forgot about ad block. I thought we just had to live in a world filled with ads.
See, I grew up with NPR. So the first time when I first started listening to like the higher end, like above 92 FM, I remember the first time I heard a commercial on the radio, my mind was blown. I didn't think that was like allowed. I'd seen commercials on television, so I knew what commercials were. But a commercial on the radio, I thought, that's not how that works. You can't do that.
Personal gripe here. Don't put an alarm sound in your ad, or a siren on a radio ad. Don't do that. Don't put a regular alarm.
You have to be like
through everything.
It's like a
immediate turn off.
All of early 1990s rap music is all like with sirens. It's terrifying every time you turn off. Like, oh, is it outside? Is it in here? What's happening? But before we skedaddle and move on to our song,
we'll go completely off the rails.
I mean, it all makes sense. And so I guess we will see what the future holds for Mr. Bezos and the Washington Post and all of these philanthropic adventures. And I guess it's not retirement, so I'm not going to say anything, you know, retirement related, but I do hope that Jeff Bezos gets his act together and returns those tips ASAP and maybe tries to, you know, use his power for good, because Lord knows he has a lot of them if we're counting them in monies and in dollars. And and way to go, SAG. Just way to go for standing up for something and for that great letter, that response letter, that resignation letter of telling Althea, next time I want to do a dramatic exit, I'll just, you know, use that letter and read it out loud. You have done nothing for me.
Like as the last line of a breakup text, you have done nothing for me. Who cares?
Yeah, that is. seriously some sort. Yeah, that is definitely giving breakup vibes for sure. I mean, listen, Home Alone 1, that movie is. I mean, that means Trump's been paying dues for that for a long time.
He was in 2. Let's be clear.
Excuse me. Right.
He was in the hallway.
How can I even forget their
Kevin
kids
McAllister
a second time?
Asked him. Yeah. Well, Home Alone 2. This time, get this. They're lost in New York.
Ah, so. That makes sense. Like, all oh, right. And he's like, there. He said, "Hey, Mister, how do I get to this and that?" Right. Yeah, I remember
Which
that.
Which way's the bathroom? And he's like, "Down the hall to the left."
Never mind.
80s. I don't know that. Why. I haven't seen the movie in a while. I don't think that's an accurate impression of like 80s Donald Trump.
Well, that would have been like 92 or so, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
Movies. Those are
the two
big quitters of the week. And so for Jay Trump and Jay Bezos, we have a song for you. And I hope that, you know, the listeners and y'all enjoy it. And we'll be back in a couple of moments. You're listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me
And this is The Gap on KBOO Portland. This half of the program, we're going to be talking about communications, our recent and or ongoing successes or challenges with communication. Communication is associated with the Roman god Mercury, Greek name Aries, the messenger god. And right now, the orbits of, well, let's just go to Althea. You want to take it?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know if you could hear me still. Well, yeah. So we're using, Sonia, you did a good job introducing. Mercury is retrograde right now, regardless of whether or not that is a, you know, that's an astrology thing. And regardless of whether or not that's something that you subscribe to and that is, you know, personal. But, it is kind of a framework to think about, you know, communication and this time, which is from January 30th to February 21st. And so we want to talk about that a little bit and thinking about communication. And we got a little bit of a clip here to go more in depth about what what is this phenomenon. Hit it.
Do you ever feel like sometimes nothing seems to be going right, and then your one friend who is super into astrology explains that Mercury is in retrograde? The first thing we need to clear up is that Mercury is not in retrograde. Mercury is just retrograde. This is the astronomical phenomenon when a planet appears to be moving backwards, reversing its orbit from our point of view here on Earth. It's actually an optical illusion. You see, planets orbit the Sun at different speeds, and retrograde occurs generally as a faster-moving planet catches up with and then passes a slower-moving planet. Other planets retrograde too, but because Mercury is the fastest planet in the solar system, it retrogrades more frequently, about 3 to 4 times a year, and lasts for about 2 to 3 weeks. Ancient Romans and Greeks personified the planet Mercury as the messenger deity. Similarly, in astrology, Mercury rules over communication. It also governs analytical thinking, expression of ideas, and the processing of information. So, in astrology, when Mercury retrogrades, all those things get kind of scrambled. Hence why some people feel utter and total chaos during this period. Different Mercury retrogrades can have different effects on us depending on which sign it's moving through, and they can take on more of the qualities of that sign. For instance, the sign Cancer is associated with home and family, as well as emotional intensity. A Mercury retrograding through Cancer could have us focus on aspects of our family and home life and get deeper in touch with our emotional state. In 2018, all Mercury retrogrades will pass through fire signs: Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Therefore, we may be more willing than normal to engage in conflict over things we're passionate about, because, well, that's what fire signs do. While there is generally a negative connotation surrounding retrograde periods, there are also ways to interpret Mercury retrograde that are more positive. Since things will feel a little crazy during retrograde, it can be a good opportunity to do some internal reflecting rather than making impulsive decisions. This can give you a chance to reassess your desires and purpose. So now you know everything you need to know about Mercury retrograde. Have fun using it as an excuse for all of your problems.
That was a lovely clip from BuzzFeed Videos and talking about Mercury retrograde. And we would love to hear from listeners if you have had any kind of communication mishaps or communication successes during this time. The phone number to call is 503-231-8187. Yes, Mercury retrograde. I think, yes, I do have that one friend that always says, Mercury is in retrograde, watch out. And I never gave it much thought, but at this point, I'm going to take all the luck that I can, and I've definitely scheduled things around it. So nothing is, I'm not doing any big things until after the 20th, which is, I know that it's silly. I feel like it's a very silly thing, but hey, you know, if 2020 taught us anything, or taught me anything, is, you know, sillier things have happened, so why not give it a try? And there is...
very true.
There are a couple of tips that we would love to... that I would like to give people about how to maybe better withstand this. But in the meanwhile, like I said before, we'd love to hear your takes, your communication mishaps or successes. 503-231-8187.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, can I mention one thing here?
Oh, please do, yes.
Well, yeah, because they mentioned something from 2018, which is not applicable now. But if you're interested, Mercury is retrograding through air signs this year, which has to do with, like, actualization and intelligence, consciousness. So that's kind of the, you know, the vibes of this Mercury retrograde. But, yeah, I don't know if I fully subscribe to it, but I think it's an interesting moment to think about communication challenges and successes, one of which I wanted to mention, which is when Tammy brought this up to me over text, I think it auto-corrected to say Murray retrograde, and that was a text friend with our friend Asia. Hi, Asia, if you're listening. And she was very confused. She said, who's Murray? what's Murray? So yeah,
even the iPhones aren't safe from Mercury's retrograde. I'm not very well versed in this, but the more I learn, the more I'm like, interesting. So I can actually blame everything that's going wrong and be like, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. You know, it's all good. Which has definitely become more of a popular thing in popular culture online. I mean, there's so many, different type of whether it's self-care or just astrology, even, you know, more of the scientific blogs, like they still mention this, and this is something that happens a couple of times a year, and it lasts for like 3 weeks. So it's definitely, you know, something that that we connect with as people on this planet, as, you know, as beings on this planet. And it's interesting that is something that we are, that you know, people have had different similar experiences. And there are some tips for surviving and thriving during Mercury's retrograde. I keep saying Mercury's retrograde, like it belongs to, well, I guess it belongs to it. First one would be to surrender to the slowdown, clean out your closets, finish projects, reach out to people you haven't seen but are thinking of. Don't sign contracts or break up with your partner. Interesting. Triple check all of your emails and text messages, and be extra gentle with yourself and your loved ones. Basically, everyone. And that is from the chilltimes.com.
Okay,
a couple of positive here we go. And we and we are we are talking about about Mercury in retrograde, and we'd love to hear your take on how it's been affecting your communication. Sonia, we can hear you. Please pat yourself down, and how it's been affecting you, and perhaps how your communications have been, whether they've been successful or not successful. We'd love to hear your take. 503-231-8187.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways in which, like, communication has become so like, prime, you know? Like, it's so important right now because we're not looking at each other in the face anymore. But, I don't know, our guest from last week brought up the challenges of body language and social cues in, like, virtual meetings, and I feel like I've been feeling that recently. Sometimes we'll be in a meeting or something, and someone will enter and they're like, can everyone hear me? Like, is everything okay, or are we just being quiet? So what's happening here? We got a caller on the line. Murray, can you hear us? How's it going?
Murray. Hello?
Hey, how's it going? Hey.
It's going good, but you did say that someone thought it was Murray in retrograde, which I thought was interesting, because I have been experiencing it. I didn't realize that. I heard that term at the beginning of the month, that was going to be Mercury in retrograde, and Ani Haynes, you know, that used to have your time slot here on KBOO, used to do it every, few months, I think, when they get to certain moon signs and sun signs. They would do the zodiac, and people would call in with their horoscope and get into astrology. So I was thinking, wow, that's kind of interesting. I was good to think of that again. And then when you said, someone said it's Murray in retrograde, I went, oh, no, because it has been happening to me this for the 2 weeks. My son, who lives back east, calls me every week, and we're both Geminis. And we have a great time catching up because he's 45 and I'm 72. And so it's good to catch up on what he's doing. And he didn't call last week. And then I texted him a few times, and he always responds to my texts, but no responses to the texts. So I'm starting to, what is happening to my son? But I'm not going to call him because I'm too proud. But anyway, so I've been in the Mercury-Murray retrograde, and I thought I'd just share that.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate you calling in. Didn't mean to, you know, scare you or call you out in the Murray retrograde story. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. And I hope that your son calls back, and I will make sure to call my mom because I don't want to worry her. Because I got a little worried you telling me about your kids. So I'm going to make peace with that in just a moment. But yeah, communication is super critical because we've been deprived of communicating, at least, while occupying the physical space. And so now we have to deal with, missed calls, texting, really awkward and odd meetings over, the internet, which, can be fulfilling. But for me personally, it's that I miss people so much. I miss them, and I miss communicating them with the ways where I can't mute myself. Or just be distant, or have that little bit of a glitch time delay. Definitely miss being in the studio too, talk about communication, but it seems to be affecting everyone. If this is something that is affecting you, at least you can know that we are sharing that together. And again, if you'd like to call in with your communication mishaps or successes, we'd love to hear it from you. 503-231-8187. We're talking about Mercury's retrograde. I really want to just call it Murray's retrograde. Mercury is retrograde right now. So we're talking about communicating and how it's been difficult or successful. Either way, we'd love to hear your take.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about when you mentioned communication successes. Oh, by the way, that number, 503-231-8187. When you were saying communication successes, I was like, what communication successes have I really had lately? And I will say, I mean, we're deprived of a lot of stimuli. We've said that a zillion times, and I think everyone's aware. But when I get like nervous about writing an email, and I'm like, do I sound too mean? Do I sound too commanding in this email? Did I put enough exclamation points in it? It's not a great habit. But and then they respond like really quick, or with like a great answer, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you emailed me. Then that like makes my heart happy in a way that I don't know if it used to before. It's like, oh, my communication, it went well. They understood what I meant. Very cool.
Yeah, there's definitely an added layer to this whole time on top of it with the disconnect of what could happen over text, not necessarily text messaging, but just like over different forms of text, whether it's email, texting, you know, chatting. I also add a bunch of exclamation points in my emails. I'm just going to be honest, I'm not that excited to email you back. I just don't want to come off like I'm rude. So it's just, thank you so much. I just imagine myself people reading it like, wow, she's super excited about this email. All right, I guess how do I respond back? Got to keep that energy up. You know, they can't bring it back flat. Trying to think of some communication mishaps that I could share. I've been keeping pretty isolated. So my dog's been acting odd. I'll give that. Maybe she's also a mammal. She has not been responding to my commands very well.
Oh, your dog's a mammal,
so.
Dude? Very cool.
Oh, you got one of those mammal dogs? Lucky.
All dogs are mammals. And she hasn't been responding very well. And we were actually in a little bit of a fight earlier this week, but we found our way, and she's figured out her wrongdoing. I figured out my own, so we're smoothing that over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
important to own one's own part in a conflict.
Yes, yeah. And it was, it takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two to tango. Althea, you were saying you're going to share something?
Well, I was thinking about when you were mentioning that your dog, you were in a fight with your dog. I was thinking about what are some good, like, excuses for not replying to an email in a timely manner? Like, I'm sorry I didn't get to this email. Sorry, my apologies. I also try, here's a tip. I'm trying to apologize less, especially over email. So I hit them with the my apologies. My apologies for not seeing this sooner. My apologies for the delay in my response, you know. It's not directly saying, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Because am I sorry? Like, I mean, I guess I wish I did do it, but mostly I just don't want you to be mad at me. But I'm thinking about, oh, my apologies for not getting to this sooner. I was in a fight with my dog, so we had a little argument, but don't worry, we worked it out.
I think also just Mercury is retrograde right now. Like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
One.
There
you
go. I understand now.
Mercury's my big
in
thing,
retrograde, so.
I picked up a thing of about 3 or 4 years ago as far as improving my communication and more like on my own for myself is instead of apologizing, I thank people for instead of apologizing for being late, I thank people for waiting for me.
Thank you for being patient.
Yeah,
yes,
that's a good
I picked
practice.
That up too.
And so it's like,
I feel like on email it feels a little presumptuous. Thank you for your patience in awaiting my response.
Well, you don't have to, you know, you can just say, yeah, I mean, it's just, thank you for waiting.
Yeah.
It shifts the emphasis from I did something wrong to you have done something, you have done me a favor.
It's
you know,
true, yeah,
and so it's like it's yeah. It's far more gracious, and it doesn't, it saves you from it saves me from like casting myself as being in the wrong, you know, having wronged somebody, you know, and just saying like, that person has done me a courtesy, and I'm thanking them.
It's a different vibe coming at it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last few minutes, if someone does want to call in, share their communication mishaps or successes during this here Mercury in retrograde, you can call in at 503-231-8187. And hopefully while the lines are above, I'll give a couple more tips, six tips for surviving the last 7 days of Mercury in retrograde. First one, expect delays, mental and physical. Be careful with critical decisions. It's okay to feel frustrated. Watch your communication. Focus on you. And lastly, tie up loose ends. That is from Inc.com. I think those are just good tips generally with communication. You know, I wonder if it's one of those things where you don't work on your... I mean, there's a reason why that's a whole, you know, degree that people can get in college, you know. It's a field of study, and we are... And it works a lot with, like, the brain and stuff. But there is something maybe to be said about how we communicate all the time. Is it only when we have miscommunications that we start working on our communication, you know? Or is it something that comes from just wanting to better explain yourself? And when we look at the greater social scheme, obviously there are groups of people that have to learn how to express themselves properly, quote unquote properly, or else they won't be heard, you know, whether we're talking about like code switching or just, you know, like you said, putting a bunch of exclamation points in emails because you're a woman and you don't want to come off like, you know, like you're mean or rude or something, which is, you know, studies have shown that that's something that mostly women think about and not, you know, cis men. We do have Brianna on the line. Hello, Brianna.
Hi. How's it going?
How's it going? All is well. How are you?
I'm so good. I just got to school. I'm not driving anymore. I love this topic. I love hearing about Mercury retrograde in public spaces.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, so I guess I just wanted to share, I love astrology, and I think a lot of people are, like, super scared of, like, retrograde season, but what I see it as is, like, an opportunity. So, like, I love the tip that you guys shared of, like leaning into it. I think every time it's, like, a retrograde, it's, like, a season to, like, it's exposing something that was already flawed, and it's time to, like, rework it, redo something. Anything that starts with an RE, rethink it. What else? And for me, Aquarius, which is where Mercury is now, is in my fourth house, which is, like, family and what else? It's, like, family and home life, and that totally makes sense. So for me, I'm working on, like, making my communication better in my home life. So I think the house that the retrograde is taking in, so wherever Aquarius is in anyone's charts, that would help those people know, like, more specifically what this retrograde is helping that person learn. So that's all I wanted to share, and thanks you guys for talking about it.
Thank you so much. I'm going to look up after this and figure out where my house is with this whole thing, because why not? That's awesome. Thank you so much for that tidbit.
Yeah, there's even more that we could individually delve into about where our own placements are, which is interesting. I think my moon is in Aquarius. So, or maybe it's my Venus. I will look. I will find out. But yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with us. I think thinking about it in a particular domain is definitely helpful, because, I mean, as much as we did ask the question, what are your communication challenges and successes, it's also like, you know, I communicate with people all the time in so many different arenas. So where to start with what has in some ways been neglected or taken for granted? Well, yeah, I'll call my mom today.
With the, you know, I people would say, call your mom, ask her for a birth time. My mom was having me. She was too busy. She wasn't looking at the clock, you know? but speaking of looking at the clock, we do have just about 2 minutes, minute and a half left. And with that, with our topic of communication and its successes or downfalls, maybe each one of us can take a second or two to talk about what form of communication they'd like to do better in. Me personally, I would like to communicate with my friends better because I feel like sometimes I get too much inside my head and don't respond in a timely manner, and I don't want them to think I'm being rude. Go ahead, Althea.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I will probably give my mom a call. Hi, Mom, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah, I got to call my mom.
But
yeah.
I think also, like the friend communication thing, I was actually thinking about this the other day, that I have friends that I keep in pretty close contact with because I like send them memes and stuff, or we live near each other. But I have a whole bunch of other friends that I don't talk to as regularly, and I see what they're up to, and I think that I should make an effort to catch up.
Catch up mustard, as they say. Sonia, do you have anything for our last few seconds on air?
Stay tuned for more of the best in community radio.
Yes, I fully agree and endorse that message. And with that, I'm Tammy. This has been The Gap. On the line with me is Althea. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
This is KBOO Portland. I'm Raj Patel, and you're listening to the only radio station named after a kind of marijuana.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for a development director. Our development director oversees KBOO's fundraising, donor and business outreach, and leads the development team with light supervisory duties. Our ideal candidate